The following podcast is brought to you by the ebook Newfie EVP, Talking with the Dead in Newfoundland. Jump on Amazon.ca right now and get your free sample of the best-selling ebook in unexplained mysteries. And now, ladies and gentlemen, on with the podcast. Ghostly greetings from the oldest city in North America. I'm your host, John Mallard, bringing you the best in East Coast esoterica. You, my friend, have stumbled upon the Odd to Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast. Hello out there in paranormal land. It's February, or as I like to call it, freeze your ass off, you weary. Welcome to the Odd to Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast for February 2015. Ladies and gentlemen, I got a great show ahead of us tonight. Later in the show, I got Philip Syracuse and Carissa Fleck here to talk Horsefly Chronicles. And let me tell you, this is going to be the darkest podcast I've done to date. The interesting thing, actually, with the interview with Philip and Carissa was the fact that, as you know, I'm a bit of a joker in my podcast. I'm a little lighthearted. And what they deal with is just so dark. It was a real interesting interview. Definitely one of the most challenging I ever went through, but I know you guys are going to love it. If you're a fan of demons and scary stories and possessions and that kind of stuff, you're going to love the Horsefly Chronicles. My interview with Philip Syracuse and Carissa Fleck is later in the podcast. Of course, we can't get to that just yet. Not until I bring you guys the paranormal news. Well, let me tell you, if there was one thing I wish they'd hurry up and invent, it'd be a real-life teleporter. Well, engineers in Germany have built the first steps toward a matter transporter, like those seen on Star Trek. Yes, it is Star Trek, not Trek, as a lot of people say. Named Scotty after the Enterprise's chief engineer, the machine consists of two units, one for sending and one for receiving. The object to be transported is first placed in the sending unit, where it is broken down and scanned by the computer. The schematics of the object are then sent over the internet to the receiving unit, which uses a 3D printer to recreate it at the new location, which can be anywhere in the world. While technically more of a replicator than a transporter, the device nonetheless succeeds in reproducing the object under the limitations of current 3D printing technology. Scotty guarantees that a personal, handmade gift remains unique when sent across distances, an example that there is no other copy, an important aspect that emphasizes the intimate relationship between sender and receiver, the research team wrote. Now, this is an interesting piece of technology. It's one step closer to be able to beam yourself from one place to the other. Now, personally, I can see a practical application for this in so many places. You know, just for instance, let's say, you know, we're at the office and we left an important file at home. Well, now we can make it materialize, so to speak, right in front of us. Well, wait a second. No, we can already do that. We have a thing called Google OneDrive. The OneDrive. But, you know, really, there's actually more uses for this than you might even think. Yeah, think medical. Oh my goodness, the medical care. We could 3D print essentially tools for people overseas. Think of the applications for dentistry, being able to recreate people's teeth and things like that. Man, oh man, this could be awesome. If I had a replicator, I think the first thing I'd do is make more time in the week so I'm not so rushed. I tell you, somebody who isn't rushed, the Boston Yeti Man. Yeah, as you know, the states were pelted this week with horrible weather. Oh my God, it was horrible. But one man decided to wander the snow-covered streets dressed as a Yeti just for fun. A man in a Yeti costume has been prowling the streets after officials closed the roads to traffic. While Boston residents were asleep in their homes this morning, a lone figure was making the most of the snow and ice by wandering around outside dressed as the abominable snowman. The unidentified prankster made light of the wintry conditions as he walked around the snows, while a second individual took photographs and posted them up on Twitter. One of the pictures shows him trying to hail a cab, while another claims that his presence is responsible for the schools being closed. Now, let me tell you something. Boston is a great place to be if you're a Yeti, because they received an incredible amount of snow, which is really paranormal in itself. The weather is just absolutely unreal these last few years. But to see this guy running around dressed as one of my favorite cryptids, it's pretty funny. And I'm going to say, you know, to me, I got to have that sense of humor about the paranormal. This guy was outside in this big costume, and he had his own photographer while trying to hail a cab dressed as a Yeti. Man, and I thought I was a weirdo. Anyway, I tell you what would be really, really weird. Every now and then we get the chance to sleep in, and there's nothing that feels better than sleeping in on, say, a Saturday morning. But man, oh man, imagine sleeping in for 12 years, and then suddenly waking up. Having slipped into a coma at the age of 12, Martin Pistorius didn't wake up again for over a decade. Pistorius had been living a normal life in South Africa when, in January 1988, he returned home from school complaining that he had been suffering from a sore throat. As his health deteriorated, he was diagnosed with cryptococci meningitis and tuberculosis of the brain, a condition that would eventually see him lapse in a vegetative and into a vegetative state. He would stay that way for a whopping 12 years. Now, his parents selflessly cared for him, despite the bleak outlook, always hoping that he might eventually regain consciousness. One day, however, Pistorius, an aromatherapist, happened to spot subtle little hints that he might be aware of what was going on around him. Barely perceptible smiles, gazes, and nods that most people would miss, but that suggested he was reacting to things happening around him. A visit to the Center of Augmentative and Alternative Communication at the University of Pretoria confirmed that he had indeed regained awareness, and his condition continued to suddenly improve. Before long, he was well enough to learn how to read and write and could communicate using a special synthetic voice computer system that he was able to operate. Now 39, Pistorius has a job in a healthcare center and has even gotten married. His story, written in his own words, is the subject of the best-selling book, The Ghost Boy, and is available right now at great stores across the nation. Out of everything he endured, however, the thing that stuck in his mind the most about his bedridden days were the endless repeats of one particularly well-known children's television show. Cannot express, even express it to you, how much I hate Bernie, he said. Now just imagine, you are actually forced to watch Bernie 24 hours a day. 24 hours a day, you gotta listen to this guy. Now, personally, I find the song very catchy, you know, at first. But imagine day in, day out, the only thing you see is a big purple dinosaur. I must say, I think I probably would never watch TV again if it was all I could hear and sense after 12 years of being under. You know, a little later in the show, we're going to be talking about shadow men and strange creatures that Philip Siracusa has dealt with, as well as Chris Affleck. But, you know, some shadow men get photographed from time to time. In fact, some might even be from this world. A human shadow has been photographed on Mars. Conspiracy theorists claim to have identified the shadow of a man working on the Curiosity rover. From traffic lights to human bones, anomaly hunters claim to have seen just about everything you can imagine resting on the surface of the red planet, no matter how impossible or bizarre. This latest find to hit the web, however, is a little bit different. While still undoubtedly an exercise in pareidolia, the claim centers around a photograph taken by NASA Curiosity's rover, which allegedly shows the shadow of an actual person working on repairing or even purposely moving the rover while standing right next to it. Conspiracy theorists have jumped on the image as evidence that either humans are already capable of traveling to Mars, or the mission is a hoax and that the rover never ever went there to begin with. In reality, however, the shadow, which at least does partially resemble a human figure, is almost certainly being cast by nothing more than the rover's own chassis. It's just a great example of visual pareidolia. It's kind of like when we see, you know, the face of Jesus on a pancake, or, you know, a monster in the clouds and that kind of stuff. In fact, a lot of researchers claim that pareidolia is one of the leading causes to paranormal phenomena. People might actually see a ghost, or what they think might be a ghost, appear in front of them. What reality of it is, it might just be a woolly hanging from their glasses being overexposed by the cornea and retinas working together. Anyhow, it's time to bring on our special guest from real life transporters, a crazy Yeti man running around Boston, to a man sleeping for 12 years in a coma and loathing Barney, to a potential human shadow photographed on Mars. Each of these stories, my friends, have been odd to Newfoundland.
Now time for tonight's special guest.
Okay, welcome back to the Odd the Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast. I am joined by Phil Siracusa and Carissa Fleck, the people behind the Horsefly Chronicles, a demonic hunting, as well as the Horsefly Curse of the Horsefly Chronicles. Ladies and gentlemen, Phil, Carissa, how are you tonight?
We're great. How are you?
I'm doing awesome, man. I'm so happy to have you on my show. I can't wait to go all dark with you guys. I know you guys have quite the story, so I'm going to dig in deep with you guys right away. Get the formalities. Welcome to Newfoundland. I hope this is the most easterly part of Canada you ever go to, because if you go any further, you're going to wind up in the ocean. And, well, we're going to take it away. First off, I'm going to ask Phil. Phil, my man, are you there?
Yes.
Phil, tell me a little bit about yourself, Mr. Siracusa.
Well, I'm a family man. I live out east in Pennsylvania, married. Since 2002, four boys, and I'm formerly a New Yorker from Staten Island, New York. That's a little bit about the background. Now, the paranormal background is, I'm going to put this out there, anyone who does listen to this, those that question in life, does heaven or hell really exist? And the answer is yes, it does. Do ghosts and demons and spirits exist? And the answer is yes. And, you know, I'll leave it there and then see if you have any questions before I can tell along to the next segment.
Gotcha. And of course, Carissa, we need an introduction for you too, my friend. How are you?
I'm great. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great, Chris. I'm glad we connected, finally.
Yeah.
All right. Tell me a little tiny bit about your background.
Okay, well, I'm 26. I live in Allentown, Pennsylvania. I've been in the paranormal officially for a couple years. I've been able to see and communicate with dead people since I was a little kid. And I think what really, like, I was just taking the paranormal as a hobby until I pretty much got put onto Phil's case, and that really changed my outlook on everything.
Gotcha.
And since then, I just devote my life to dealing with extreme cases and people that need help in demonic occurrences.
Gotcha, man. And, you know, it's really interesting. Now, me, I'm one of those rare ones. When I'm out in the field and stuff like that, I have never come across anything truly evil, demonic, really, ever. I've actually been an investigator myself for a couple of years. So it's actually kind of bizarre to hear from the horse's mouth, so to speak, that indeed these demonic hauntings do take place. How about you guys just go ahead and give me a little bit of the background about what's happening in the Horsefly Chronicles?
Okay, so this is Phil Siracusa again, the author of the Horsefly Chronicles. So the background of the story is that I started out in heaven, and I was with a loved one. And as I said earlier, heaven does exist. And the colors and the feeling, everything that you have here in the physical world, it's a thousandfold of a greater sense that we have. And the feeling of love, peace, and harmony. And me, this loved one, an angelic being with long blonde hair and crystal blue eyes, the most perfect scenery does exist in heaven, it is true. And running through the fields with this loved one, we stopped, and she looked at me in my eyes, and she says, "You have to go." And I says, "Go where?" And I wasn't sure what was happening, as we were both being circled by something very dark. And I didn't know what it was. In a flash, like a blink of an eye, I was pulled into the darkness of hell. And hell does exist, and I can describe hell to a T. It's like the inside of a volcano with over 100 different levels of thousands and thousands of souls screaming and being tortured. I was there, and Satan, the beast himself, does exist. The demonic entities that are in hell are your fears. Satan knows your fears. Whatever your fears are, that's what the demon will represent itself as. In hell, you're nothing but a slave to Satan. You are a slave to the demons, and you're there to do hell's work and be tortured. The inside of it has little cubbies that each one of us, slaves, soul, are put into. The only thing you have when you're in hell and you're being tortured, the only thing is restored in faith in God, that God does exist, and that one day you'll be pulled out of there. Now, where time does not exist in the spiritual world, you're a blind man seeking help. And what I started to notice was that some of these other people like myself were no longer in hell. And that, to me, gave me fulfillment. Even though I was tortured, one day I seen a crack of light that came from miles and miles and miles away to the top of the look-alike volcano that I describe as hell. And the light came closer and closer, like a pinhole of light. And it was started to slowly consume me and take me in. And it pulled me through this light, and other entities were not far behind me, demons. Now, this light is like a vortex. It's a tunnel of energy that you get sucked into like a vacuum cleaner. You get pulled in, you feel every cell of your body being pulled into this. And then on September 16, 1967, I was born here in the physical world on a Saturday stormy day.
So, Phil, my entities
have come with me.
Okay, Phil, so my first question for you is going to be, did you have a recollection of this when you were a child, or did this eventually happen later in life when you suddenly remembered this horrible past of yours?
When you're a child, you don't know if it's a nightmare that you're having, or just an ordinarily bad dream or regular dream. But as you start to get older, what happened to me was the dark shadows would always appear. And then through these dark shadows, you're given this remembrance. And the older you get, as your brain develops, you start to look back and put the pieces like a puzzle together and then connect everything to its reality.
Gotcha. So it is actually, you can remember being a part of your childhood, even though you couldn't remember everything fully, you kind of experienced things through your dreams, hey?
Well, I remember heaven and hell fully. The older I get, I'm 47 years old today, I could draw exact pictures of heaven and hell.
That's amazing.
And in fact, that's going to be a book that I do come out with in the summertime.
Cool.
Descriptions of exactly what it looks like. So the only way the learning process goes through the mind is that you grow older, and the recollection of where you've been comes with you, and your memory and your thoughts of how it all played out into your life.
Interesting. And okay, of course, you know, with so much information they're throwing at us right there, Phil, man, oh man, just an incredible story.
I tell people, look, you know, it's hard to digest and believe that one man can have all these experiences, and why would one person have it? I don't have the answer to that. And that's why, you know, I got involved to have paranormal teams come into my life to investigate the truth of what's going on. I will tell you firsthand that these demonic entities have followed me from childhood, from hell, into the physical world. Now, if you say to me, Phil, do you actually see demons with horns? The answer is no, I don't. Do you see dark shadows and feel negative energy and the smell of sulfur takes place? The answer is yes, it does. So it grows with you. Darkness grows with the person's soul. And unfortunately, these dark entities came with me here. And as teenage years went on, I began to experiment, trying to understand why and how this was possible. And then I encountered with the Ouija board, to see if I could make contact with these entities. And what that did was this. it opened up the portal even bigger. So it's like you have your bedroom door open a crack. Now it's wide open where these entities now come at free will. But not only into my life, but those that are around me as well. So again, you don't see these demonic figures for what they really look like. I don't, at least. But you feel their presence, and when you take pictures and of night vision or have a paranormal team put this together, they're there. This is real. So, you know, once again, I'll leave it there to see if you have any questions before we continue.
Of course. Well, you know, the first one I say, it's written in the Bible, of course, that one of the biggest victories of Satan has been the fact that he's willing to make the world believe he doesn't exist. He's the great deceiver. So it's interesting that you tell me that you're not actually seeing these demons with horns. That to me, I think it really adds credibility to your own account. And the reason why is because I don't believe they have big scary horns. I think they are going to be that strange dark shadow and whatnot that do come upon us during our paranormal investigations. Me, myself, I've never experienced it. Perhaps I'm protected very, very well by quite a few wonderful people who are looking out for me. I think I am. And I hope they're with me right now. I've got my armor on. I put it on before I called you. Let me tell you, Phil, because you never know. And I will say this, though. I'm thinking Carissa probably has a wonderful backstory as well. So before we go ahead and dive into a little bit more about what the actual Horsefly Chronicles is about and how this came in, I'd like to hear a little bit about Carissa, her gift as a psychic medium, and her work with you.
Hi. I got involved in this case pretty much. My team found her. I'd only been on a few paranormal investigations with my team when this case occurred and happened. My team found her came to me, and all he told me about the case was he booked it for 3 weeks ahead of time, and that it's a man who thought he was haunted. Didn't tell me anything else about it. So I didn't think much of it. I hung up the phone. But I'll tell you, like, that day, I just felt the weirdest feeling, like something was just watching me. And it didn't feel like a person, it just felt like something. And I couldn't quite put my hand on it. It's like they were staying hidden from me.
Mm.
As the days progressed and, you know, things went on, there was like little occurrences of like my gas stove turning on by itself or my closet door opening and slamming, which is nothing too out of the ordinary for me because I do get visited by things a lot. However, you know, the activity progressed and went on to more extreme levels. I was laying in bed the one night, and I saw, with my eyes, a green orb flying to the middle of my ceiling. And when it got to the middle of my ceiling, I got actually sexually attacked. It felt like a burning. I ran to the bathtub, and I had a thing of holy water. I don't know how I had it. I had it in my bathroom, and I just threw that in the tub, and I got in it. And as soon as I got in that water, I got bit.
Hmm.
That bite mark appeared and disappeared within 5 seconds. The days went on. I was losing sleep. I wasn't able to sleep for like 5 days. I went over to my team founder's house pretty much in tears, and I just needed someone, you know, like I'm a single person, like I lived alone at that time. I went over to his house, and, you know, like I was in tears. I hadn't showered in 5 days. I hadn't slept. And he said that whole night that he had the smell of sulfur coming from the upstairs of his house when I was there. And we were also hearing strange banging on the doors and windows and all of that. I wouldn't even go outside by myself for 5 minutes. He had to come with me. I was petrified at this time. However, the attacks did not stop there. I went home that night, like later on in the next day, and, you know, I was just doing routine chores and housework, and I saw in my mind's eye a half goat, half man. It just appeared to me in my head, and I thought that was strange, and I tried to just brush it aside. Later that night, I was laying in bed, and I saw a demonic bird with red eyes up on my window, chirping. I mean, the days progressed, the attacks got worse and worse. It got to the point where my bed was actually shaking, and I was being charged at while laying there. And this was all before I met Phil.
Yeah.
I did not believe in demonic entities until this case. I came to the family's house trying to have an open mind, but as soon as I walked in the door, I knew it was the same energy that had visited me and tortured me. I told the family about my encounters, and the family confirmed that I had nailed on the head a lot of the things that were talked about in the first book.
Mm-hmm.
Long story short, since we are limited on time tonight, I became good friends with them, and I moved into the house, and I lived here for 4 months. I experienced a lot of the demonic occurrences firsthand. And you know what Phil said is very true. Most of the time, I don't see what the actual demon looks like. I've seen a half-goat, half-man in my mind's eyes multiple times. I've caught him on film. But a lot of times, it's a dark shadow person or shadow figure flashing by out of the corner of your eye, you see them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we saw a hellhound. We were outside, and we saw a demonic dog that came up to us. I've been possessed while living here. I've seen family members possessed and speaking different languages with their eyes all black. Everything from things laying down in bed with me to knocking sounds at night or footsteps outside my door. When I've lived here, I've experienced it all. Time lapses, which is an alien-like activity, actually, it's more frankly known as. Just everything.
Gotcha.
Strange EVPs.
Yeah, I've actually taken the time to listen to a few of your EVPs actually on SoundCloud. I'm actually an EVP researcher myself, and I do hear that you have used the ghost box quite a lot, hey?
Oh, yes. I love the spirit box.
Yeah, me too. I love that thing. Do you use a PSP-7?
Yes.
Me too. I love that thing, and I guess I love it because...
And honestly, I never believed in it until I was on an investigation one time and heard my name coming out of it.
Oh, man.
And my name's not something that you just randomly hear. Ever since then, I've been a diehard believer in the spirit box, and it's one of my favorite pieces of equipment.
Me too. I agree 100%. Don't get me wrong, 95% of it that comes out, it really is that audio pareidolia stuff we deal with. But there's no doubt, I've had experience with myself. That thing does work, there's no doubt.
And you know what, Phil's house, like, I've gotten the same five voices every single time. And it's all in full sentences, saying exact answers to my questions. Like, there's no coincidence to it. I love the spirit box, and it's one of my favorite pieces.
You got it. You got it on both ends. You got the technology and, of course, your abilities as well. And I'm very happy to say you're actually the first ever psychic medium on my show. So congratulations.
Yeah, it's so special. But yeah, I love, like, you know, what I like to do is I don't like to just go on my psychic abilities. I really like to try to back that up as much as I possibly can with technology behind me to kind of prove that, you know, what I'm experiencing, what I'm feeling is correct, not only to myself, but to the client as well.
I mean, I'm a believer, too, that a lot of people out there, even people who don't believe in psychic abilities, I think we all have a little bit in us anyhow. It just may be lying dormant. Like, we've all had that deja vu thing happen, and we all see synchronicity. I mean, just events lining up to happen all the time. Synchronicity seems to be the biggest one for me. I definitely notice that in my own life, and I'm sure other people do as well, that maybe we do all have a little gift inside. You know what I mean?
I definitely think that everyone has abilities at some point. It's just, I think some people are born more intuitive and then others really have to tap into it harder. And the different levels of abilities range, but I do believe that pretty much everyone has the abilities to become psychic or a medium.
Gotcha. Now we're going to head back to Phil, Mr. Siracusa. I have a couple of questions for you. You know, am I understanding this right? Your book, okay, it is a collection of shorter stories about the same case. Is that correct?
The first book, yes.
Okay, cool. No, I just want to know that because I got a little confused. But that's good. I like smaller stories are always great, especially when they're about the same thing. And, you know, if I was to be an advocate for paranormal unity, I would say this. 1,000 teams should investigate the same place, and if they find the same types of data, it'd be a lot more credible than if only one team went. So I'm really glad to see that multiple teams have been there and have found the same things. What types of things are happening during this haunting? What's really going on there during an investigation that you guys carried out? Just give me a couple of examples that of things that have happened in this area.
Well, it's not the home, because I live in several different homes. It's me. It's an attachment to me.
Gotcha.
Like I said, I came from hell, and these demonic entities attach themselves to a soul.
Uh-huh. So this
now,
was...
what goes on, you know, sometimes you think you're hallucinating, and that's why I had paranormal teams come in here. In fact, that don't even know each other to validate the same evidence, and then have other big people come here with floor machines and various types of equipment set up around the home and around me. Now, what goes on almost daily, almost, is the black shadow. And it's not an ordinarily black shadow. It looks like the size of a grapefruit. It's very dark, and it flies by. You see it just fly by you. And that started about 2 years ago. Now, I thought it was the bulbs in the house. I changed almost every bulb in my house thinking the bulbs were flickering. But this dark shadow goes everywhere in the home. And you can see it go from the ceiling to the floor to the walls. And then up until this last summer, I was in New Jersey at a party, and it was in that person's home. And that was the first time. Now, other things have happened, like if you try to light sage in this home, it's warfare. Back in the summer, things were getting pretty bad with negative energy, a lot of family friction. That's what dark energies like. And I asked Carissa to light sage and help me walk through the home and through the doors. And within 5 minutes, everybody in the home was fighting to the point where I had to open up all the windows and doors and let the sage out. So it's a standoff. Dark attachments, ghosts, demons, they don't like to be removed. And when you're using any kind of practice to try to remove them, they do fight back. And I didn't know that up until that one occurrence. I had another psychic come in the home only to grab her throat because she could not breathe. And she had to go back out of the house again. And she told me they don't want me here. Now, other people came to the home to try to do removal. I had a minister come here back a month ago. I wanted my home blessed. And he put the crosses over every doorway and walked through the homes with prayers and whatnot. But the demonic entity that resides around and within myself did not like that, and it became a standoff with the minister, where there was discomfort in the room, and we had to separate. So, you know, do these dark attachments really exist? They do, unfortunately, and they could, whatever your negative thoughts are, evil finds your weakest link. So if you're having a bad day, just times it by 10, because it gravitates to any kind of negativity that's already happening in your life. That's how darkness works against one's soul. Now, the difference with this story, and not because it's my story, is that I thought it was kind of strange, but we have friends. I live in Pennsylvania. We have friends in New York, New Jersey, Westchester, everywhere. They're all telling us that every time we talk about the story to them, a dark shadow would fly by in their home or something would happen out of the ordinary. Where I said it was coincidence, they said there's no coincidence because we're seeing what you're seeing. Some of these people actually caught it on film. It's the same dark entity. Now, I can't explain that, but after talking to researchers in the field, they said it's able, an entity is able to transmit that quick through phone lines, whatever kind of electronic device, to go to the next person's house, and they could be in a different state. Now, having said that, I was on a podcast back last April, and the guy, I was on with a couple of people from Horsefly, and the guy at the very end says, you know what, I don't believe your story. And I says, you know, I just wanted to get the information out there. A week later, I get an email from him saying, I can't believe how real this is because I live in Tennessee, and now I'm dealing with this dark entity in my own home. And he goes, I didn't believe it until I went to a psychic, and she's telling me that these are one of the demons from hell. And I laughed at it, to be honest with you. I said it wasn't possible. But then other people started coming forward with the same thing, saying that they were being attacked. So this last summer, I had a book signing with Carissa in Pennsylvania. And the lady who owns a mystical shop that sells potions and herbs and all that stuff, she canceled the book signing in fear because there was horseflies all over her office. And now, coincidentally, the horsefly, that's why it's called that, because Beelzebub, which is one of the demons of Satan, I'm always being circled by a horsefly. And other people in my team are being circled. Now, it's not every day that there's a horsefly at home. I'm not going to tell you that. But at the most strange occurrences, when something bad's about to happen, a horsefly appears 90% of the time.
So it's almost like a totem, so to speak.
Yes.
It's almost like a precursor. You see this creature, and suddenly you know something bad is going to happen around you.
Yes. something bad or a very bad negative energy is about to take place.
Hmm.
And, you know, there's YouTube videos and people have their own testimonials on Horsefly. And, look, I have a question mark about paranormal because I'm a hardcore skeptic. But living the life I've lived and where I came from, it's almost impossible to believe, but the truth is, it became facts that this is all real. Ghosts are real. Demonic entities are real. We're not alone. And that be careful what you do with the Ouija board or what you call for because they are listening. And it's like you're opening up that door to the unknown that could walk into your life and create havoc in your life. And that's sort of what happened to Carissa. And, you know, unfortunately, there's been some tragic events that are attached to this case. And again, to this day, I try to say it's coincidence, but, you know, it's out there and it's a lot of similarities to other things that you might hear. But this one is widespread where it's not just a home or a building. It affects people and their homes to say, hey, I'm here. Don't question demonic entities because we do exist.
And I think that's another thing that I find really interesting about this story. It's not a haunted location. It's a haunted person. It realistically, it's somebody who has this attached to them. In other words, I don't view your book as a cautionary tale. I view your book as more of information about other people who may be struggling with this. How many people across our wonderful world right now may be struggling with a demon attached to them and do not know about it?
Yeah, that's true. I mean, that's actually true. And in fact, you know, there was a test that back in September, me and Carissa went to go meet a well-known psychic in the Allentown Diner who was all over television. And, you know, Carissa paid for the session. And when it was my turn to sit down with this lady one-on-one, I wanted a reading to see what was going on. She looks like I have three heads right behind me. She goes, oh, my God, there's a black shadow just flew behind you. And I asked her to describe it, and she described it the same way that everybody else describes it. And it's the same way that I see it. And some days, it's not in my home. It's gone. And I'll say to Carissa or my wife, this thing is gone. And then only to get a phone call a couple days later from people saying, this thing is in my house. How do I get rid of it?
Hmm. Another thing, too, like me, myself, I'm a researcher. I love going out into the field, but I've been drawn away from actually going out and locating electronic voice phenomena myself because it's just too time-consuming. I'm more about analyzing whether people have captured. And you say that this demonic entity, we'll say, has been able to travel through electronics. So you mean that it can actually travel over your phone line right into my house right now?
Yes, and you know what? Look, you don't know me, I don't know you, and it's hard to believe what I'm telling you, right? Because, quite frankly, I wouldn't believe it. But if you look at some of the podcasts on YouTube, there's a warning disclaimer about me, that demonic energy has traveled through these podcasts or to these people's homes within seconds. And I laughed and giggled about it, thinking it was silly to even have a thought on that. But when you have over 50 different people in different states, and some of them don't even know me, and I'm looking, and I'm getting emails, and Carissa's getting emails, it becomes a fact now, not like a question mark, that this is possible. Now, a week ago, I had somebody very large come to my home in the paranormal world. I explained the situation to them, because this is still ongoing, by the way, and I asked them if this was possible for these dark entities to travel that quick, and the answer was yes. It's been heard of before.
That's interesting, too. I'm going to move back now to Carissa, of course. She's been quiet now for long enough. We've got to bring her back into the conversation, bring her back into the fray. Carissa, when did you really discover that you had a gift?
Well, it sounds crazy, but I remember actually being in my crib at night and hearing my name being called by something that wasn't there. I brushed it off. I didn't really think anything of it. You know, I thought I was just a kid and hearing things, but you know, it happened a lot throughout my childhood. My mom had told me as I got older, like, I would have imaginary friends in quotations, but I would have full-blown conversations, and I would go and tell my mother of things that I couldn't have known about her ancestors or things like that, and I'd be like, that's who I'm talking to. I would say the real first inkling that I have as an actual official memory would be when I was in school, and I started talking about the death on the grounds that no one knew about. And the staff actually had me kicked out of school because they thought somehow I had found it out or whatever, and they sent me to a psychologist, and that psychologist sat down with my mother and told her that, you know, your daughter does have the sixth sense. He was like, she's not mentally ill. There's nothing wrong with her. I would say that she has a sixth sense. And he's like, you know, I really don't believe in this stuff, but if I had to diagnose your daughter, that's what it would be. And my mom just knew it right away. You know, my mom has her own abilities, and I guess since then, like, I kept it quiet. I didn't want to know because I went back to school and I got made fun of as the girl that talks to dead people. I just kept it under guns. I didn't say anything throughout high school. I had a normal life. You know, like, dead people come and talk to me. But, like, for the most part, like, I was popular. I had lots of friends. I was always out at parties. You know, like, I just tried to live a normal life. Then I moved into a farmhouse from the 1700s. That was very, very haunted. I still live in it today. And there was no denying that I knew things that I couldn't have known. I knew about the steps in the house, and then I went to the library to actually research it, and I got every single one right. And that's when I really saw it as my true calling and my passion. I was in a major car accident, and I was in med school, and I couldn't go anymore. And that's when I linked up with my paranormal team, and it's just taken off from there.
That's great. And, you know, it's funny. I myself have been a part of esoteric things that are on the fringe. I was a pro wrestler for many years. I've always been attracted to things that are not of the norm. And let me tell you, I'm so glad to be among people who I can relate to. I can totally relate to you 100% with maybe not being normal. And you know what? I'm damn proud I'm not normal, and you should be too.
I am too. The older I got, the more I fully accepted me for who I am. And, you know, I love my crazy, unpredictable life, and I love being able to help people.
Sounds...
And, you know, like, I'm happy that I'm in the demonic end of the spectrum and paranormal. Like, I really am, because, you know, like, I can survive in a demonic household and help clients. And, you know, it brings me gratitude to actually help people that need it.
I know, as dark as things have been for you, Phil, I will say this. It's quite the gift, believe it or not, to be surrounded by people who care about you so much, even during such dark times. I'm sure there's people out there right now, Phil, who may actually be going through what you're going through or something similar and have absolutely no lines of support.
That's true. You know, and if there's any that the book would come out and say that, you know, it could educate a person that, you know, this exists and it happens, and, you know, try to reach out to credible people like Harissa, who is available through email and Facebook Messenger, that maybe can give some answers to these people to help out and see. Not everything is a haunting or demonic case, but, you know, if it fits within the shadows and the guidelines of what I'm dealing with and other similar paranormal hauntings, then it's true. And they need to take precautions. And, again, this is still ongoing, so we're still bringing in more investigators. In fact, Saturday that's coming up, one of the investigators from the Amityville Horror House is coming to my home.
Wow.
I spoke to that person over the phone who knows Ed Lorraine Warren and is coming here because after talking to me, that person also felt like this was a bad case and to see where to go with this and how to help out.
Well, let me tell you, if I ever got possessed or anything ever attached myself to me, the one person I would love to have on my side would be Lorraine Warren. For two reasons.
Oh, definitely.
For two reasons. Number one, she's so knowledgeable and has been in so many credible cases over the years. And also, number two, she's just so darn sweet. She's sweet. She looks like she'll bake you cookies. She looks so nice.
You know what? It's actually funny. I met her, I guess, like a month before I started Phil's case, and she looked me dead in the eyes and said, "You are going to live a life very similar to mine."
Yeah.
And, you know, I didn't think it to be true. I was just like, yeah, right. I'm never going to get into the demonic end of things. And then I met Phil, and now here I am. She's a very gifted, wonderful woman.
She's like everyone's grandma, so it's awesome.
But she seriously took me aside and was like, "You are going to live a life similar to mine, and you are a lot like me." And it's funny. She hit it dead on the head, and I wouldn't have guessed it.
Awesome. Anything you guys want to talk about before we go, you know, about the Horsefly Chronicles? I mean, number one, people can find this book on Amazon. All right, it's a Kindle version, right?
Yes, it can. Kindle and paperback and audio.
And yes, and people keep in mind, of course, that this is an ongoing case. These are excerpts about a man who's basically been to hell and back, quite literally. It's a very interesting read. I've read some of the reviews, and there's a lot of people who really enjoy this book. So get your butts on Amazon. All my listeners out there, get out there, buy this book, help support these guys, because believe it or not, everything we do costs money. we certainly could use the help.
That's true. And in fact, there's one thing I want to say is that, you know, Carissa lived in this case for 4 months, but she had a brilliant idea back in the summer. And her idea was, why don't we have other paranormal teams come forward with their evidence and make a testimonial book as she was working on this case. And that's where the Curse of the Horsewife Chronicles book is out today. So there are other people with big names, and it's on Amazon. They came forward with their evidence of my home that don't even know each other, these people. So if anything, I wanted it validated. And I want to leave off like this. In anybody's darkest hour of life, whether you lost your job or you're getting divorced or you're clinically ill, this is what I want to tell every listener out there. In your darkest hour, have faith. Because, my friend and listeners, faith is what brought me out of hell. Faith. And faith you cannot see. It's in your soul, and it does exist.
First and foremost, tell me where everyone can either find you guys online and where they can buy your book. So go ahead and tell everyone where they can find you guys.
On Amazon.com, you can buy The Horsefly Chronicles and The Curse of the Horsefly Chronicles. And we're working on a third book, which is actually the second book of The Horsefly Chronicles, and that's going to come out in a little bit. And they're all on Amazon, paperback, audio, Kindle, whatever you want.
Gotcha. Another thing, too, is there anywhere else anybody can find you online? Are you guys on Facebook? You guys on
Yes, you can find me if you need help with a demonic haunting or have questions about anything at Carissa Fleck. And then Philip Syracusa is also on Facebook as Philip Syracusa, The Horsefly Chronicles.
Gotcha, man. That's awesome. Okay, from the oldest city in North America, I bid you adieu. Thanks so much for being guests on the Odd the Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast. I'm going to stop recording now. I'm going to stop recording now and go back to the real world. But I still am going to talk to you guys. I'm going to stop recording.
Well, the time to say goodbye is upon us. But don't worry, you can keep track of the Odd the Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast very easily. It's available on Stitcher, iTunes, Podbean, and TuneIn Radio. Just look for the Odd the Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast banner. Of course, if you'd like to keep up to date, you can always check out the Odd the Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast Facebook page, drop a like, and every single time a new show goes up, you'll be notified. You can also follow me, John Mallard, on Twitter, at O-D-D-T-O-N-F-L-D. That's Odd to Newfoundland. Get your latest news on the podcast, as well as the ever-popular para-joke of the day. From the oldest city in North America, I bid you adieu. From the Odd the Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast.